not only the Moderna, because the Moderna isn't that sensitive, thankfully, but that definitely is a good place to put the Pfizers.
Copy that. Very good. Okay. Yeah, you won't need it for Johnson & Johnson either. And Johnson & Johnson, now they're saying they've got the 95% efficacy. We'll see how that goes, if they can prove that.
Yeah, I mean, we have been incredibly lucky, hopefully. You know, we have broken all kinds of records. Like I mentioned before this, the fastest vaccine production took 4 years, and there are multiple seemingly efficacious and safe vaccines available, and my understanding is polls indicate that there's a significant uptick in the number of people who said, yeah, they'll take the vaccine. So I think we're getting closer and closer to the light at the end of this tunnel.
A2NFJ.
Yes, Sam.
Getting it before they should. They're paying a lot of money and stuff. So once you get that graft and corruption in there, you know it's a good deal. You're going to get a good demand curve.
Oh, well, people will be people. What can you do? Sam, I heard you call out your call sign.
Yeah, I didn't mean to step on the other guy. He must have came up to me. Roy, real quick question. I have 10 meters in my radio, okay? But I can't reach your show in the morning, Sunday morning. Without a repeater, I can't make it straight, right?
Well, number one, hopefully you have capability of single sideband, because we don't do FM. We do single sideband. But even if you have single sideband, unfortunately, propagation for 10 meters is not that great. On an average day, we communicate with a little bit of Queens, a lot of Brooklyn, a little bit of Staten Island, a little bit of New Jersey. You know, when the ionosphere allows, we can talk to all over the country. But it's kind of problematic. Although a couple of weeks ago, Andy WA2CDL joined us, although his signal was a little on the weak side. So it may be that you need a better antenna, a higher antenna, or something like that. But the first step is to make sure that obviously you have a single sideband capability on your 10-meter radio.
Okay, thank you very much, Roy. I'm not high enough. I'm in the attic. I'm moving it up a little later. And it's a beautiful show. Happy New Year to you and your family. Man, you really are good on this radio. I'm clear.
Thank you very much, Sam. I do appreciate it. So I guess it's time to call it another night. And as always, I like to remind people, if you have any questions and you can't get on the radio, or puzzles you'd like to offer me, or topics you'd like to hear discussed, or if you want me to poke Paul on the shoulder and ask them to take a look at a space article and make a comment about it, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Links to a bunch of interesting sites are available on my link site. That's roy.ac2gs.com. And there's MikeKC2NJI's wonderful archive of TechNet that goes all the way back to September 2006. That's at amateurradio.tv. And as I always like to end the night, remind you that one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick, K2RIW, Silent Key, and the guy that ran this for many, 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 many years, had a great line. He would end many of the TechNets with "be kind to each other." And as I've mentioned before, that's always good advice, but in these times of the COVID-19 virus, this is especially important. People, you know, don't be frightened, but be smart. Protect yourself. Be safe. Socially distance. The vaccines are coming. As time goes on, we'll reach the end of the tunnel, and then we'll be back to life, hopefully, as usual. Don't kind of get tired and fatigued with it all and say, who cares? because just the other day, unfortunately, Joel Kornreich passed away, apparently due to COVID-19. So he's still out there, and it's still killing people. So once again, I want to thank everyone for participating, Andy and Paul and all the people who participated tonight and all the people who participated this year. 2020 was an awful year, but the technical net was a shining example of a not-so-terrible thing, and it's all because of you guys. You made it possible, and I really do appreciate each and every one of you, and hopefully we'll all be able to do even a better job in 2021. So have a happy and a healthy new year. Be well. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
Hello, AC2GS, BB2BXO. Good show, and happy new year.
Thank you, Frank. I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to the alien transmission story tonight. Maybe we'll do it next Sunday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll try to be here. I know you had a lot of guys in here, and that's one that's going to generate a lot of discussion. So, best we left to next week. Anyway, keep up the good work. BB2BXO.
Thanks, Frank. This is AC2GS again, going clear.
7-3.
W2BL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KCTJ.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is NY2H Mobile.
KD2KNH. Charlie, you listening? WA2CDO.
Got NY2H Mobile.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? Did you enjoy my little dissertation?
Yes, I did. I did indeed. And especially the current clamp. You know, it's DC, so it doesn't generate an electromagnetic field, but it does generate a magnetic field. And the other fellow came in and clarified that the Hall effect detector is used in those things. So that was interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what you forget, but that's right. It does use that effect, and I don't know if I even mentioned it or brought it up. Because I'm trying to concentrate on 10,000 things at the same time, trying to read something without... I called Roy. I told him that I try to stay away from the math. If you want to really get deep into the subject, go into all the physics of everything, My idea is to just get the concept across to people listening. And I know we have more listeners than we have talkers. You know, people do listen. And sometimes you can just learn something just by listening and saying to yourself, oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea. Just like what I do. Besides, I learn from it myself because I forget. So it's sort of a refresher for me, and it goes on and on. I mean, as you know, this stuff lasts a lifetime. There's so much to talk about. I happen to have the antenna, the ARRL antenna book. It's like 600 pages. You want to go into math and everything else? It's all there. So, but this particular book that I'm using is more of a foundation, a study. Just to get some basics down. Of how this, how these things work, going by the basic laws of physics and how radio waves travel and everything else. In fact, that'll be the next chapter. Once the electrostatic and electromagnetic fields leave the antenna, where do they go? And how do they propagate? How do they actually travel? So that's the next talk. And then how the ionosphere affects it. And they give you examples. And, again, it's on a very, very elementary form, non-mathematical. But it gets a concept, of course. That's the whole idea.
Absolutely. And very interesting. I think Roy mentioned that it's very esoteric. How does that signal come off the antenna to the near field? And I read something once, which again was not mathematical, but it gave me an insight to that process. And it was a while back, and I'm trying to remember exactly what my insight was, but it had to do with also with kind of explain the radiation resistance coming off the antenna. And how the wave front, I guess, the interference from the wave front, and maybe it was as simple as someone had mentioned when you get to the end of the antenna, it's got nowhere to go. But you had mentioned that Dick had used to say that, it would build up many, many times, and then ultimately start to travel off of the antenna. So, yeah, it's all interesting stuff. I have to commend you not only on bringing this material forward, but on your great attitude, because if I was doing what you were doing, and people constantly came in to try to change the agenda, jump the agenda ahead, you know, et cetera, et cetera, I mean, I find that a little annoying, so I compliment you on your patience.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, well, it's just the way it is, I guess, you know, I try to persevere with what, you know, I'm trying to find the words to even explain, you know, what I'm trying to explain to you, but I persevere, so I just want to get across what I want to get across, because, you know, if you start changing things and getting into more depth, then, yeah, they get more complicated, and then people start asking questions, well, I never thought of that, how does that work, and I want to stay focused. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. I want to stay focused. Focused on the ideas and concepts that I'm trying to get across. But, yeah, I know Dick has spoken many times about how the waves travel back and forth, and then they keep going, and eventually they leave the antenna, and they start flying out into space. That's the way I'm saying it. But if you don't have the antenna, the ARRL antenna book, I would recommend it, because it's chock full of all this information. Like, how many chapters does this have? Like 27, 28 chapters? 28 chapters. Everything from Smith chart calculations to coupling the transmitter to the line, to radio wave, there's a whole section on radio wave propagation, VHF propagation, ground wave propagation, you know, it goes on and on and on. I mean, there's so much to talk about. This particular book is not compared to the antenna book, but it gives, as I said, it gives the basic, you know, foundation, which is, what we'll get into. So it's basically a very elementary course. But yes, I have to keep persevering. I got to stay focused and stay on track. Even though, you know, sometimes I try to get derailed, but I put myself back on the track.
NY2H Mobile. Absolutely. Yeah, I have a couple of editions of the antenna book. I have at least two of them. And yeah, it's just rich with information. But that's, you know, that's an area, first of all, let me say that I can understand that these topics are ripe for jumping in and going off on tangents and stuff, because there's so much there. And, you know, it sparks different ideas in people's minds as they're hearing this stuff. So it's understandable. But again, to be able to control it so that you don't miss what you want to present, you know, it's a limited amount of time, et cetera, you know, that's good. But the other thing is, antennas is one area in amateur radio in the hobby, you know, if we take the technical end of the hobby, let's say, that most people can jump into, regardless of really their technical background. They can do some experimentation and stuff. You can go from very simple, you know, to more complex, and just find your level and run with it. So that's, I think, another reason that it's popular, you know, working and experimenting with antennas and such. So that's good. I guess one fellow there, he was talking about his situation, his HOA. And he couldn't get the height, so he might be better off with a vertical antenna. Yeah, I don't know if he's got airspace, just put something up vertically. We were able to present that last night.
Yeah, that was George. I forgot his call. Had the antenna mounted, you know, only 9 feet above the ground, and of course, Roy came back immediately and said, you know, that the signal is more of like an NVIS, near vertical incidence signal. Because really what you want, you know, if you visualize it, you want the signal to propagate at a low angle of radiation, so it goes out to the horizon. And actually, this little book that I'm reading from will explain that, because they show, you know, again, how radio waves propagate. We'll get into that discussion a little bit once the signal leaves the antenna. So, you know, the antenna is only one part of it, of course. You know, then what does the signal do as it, as I use the word Faraday rotation, because that's the word I've heard and being used, you know, as it propagates and changes polarization over time. But then again, you know, you have magnetic and electrostatic and electromagnetic fields and at right angles to each other, and you want two antennas to be in the same polarization, point to point. Because I've experimented with that, just out of curiosity, and there's at least a 20 dB, I think Roy said it's like 1% or so, whatever that comes out to. I didn't do the math, but there is quite a bit of a difference when you're transmitting horizontal and receiving vertical, you know, point to point. You know, once it goes into the ionosphere at the angle it's going at, and of course bounces from that, you know, then it changes polarity. As this book, you know, discusses, actually the antenna book discusses in a whole chapter. But looking at the pictorials, you see, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of this stuff has only been discovered by experimentation anyway. You know, sometimes you don't know, and what you do is you get an idea, you experiment, you try something, and you say, oh, look what I just discovered. This is what happens. And then they get into the math behind it and the physics. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. Fascinating subject. It's endless. That's why one of the things, of course, that was Dick's forte in antennas. All right, let's wait to CDL. I just got off 75 meters, by the way. I was talking to a guy in Minnesota. The band is actually sort of long. And my signal is actually making it out to Minnesota.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
All right, let me get it back. W8 to CDL. Okay, I'm not sure if you're going east, if you're hearing the east repeater. I get long-winded, because I'm used to the HF bands where you can just talk and talk and talk. But I was talking to a guy in Minnesota who's got an elaborate antenna system. He's got a 130-foot tower, rotating tower with multiple beams on it at six locations. So I was talking to a guy named Steve out there. And, you know, since I got my 75-meter station working and my dipole up, it works pretty well. Does the job. But the dipole is not low to the ground. I have it up pretty high. So, but it's not as high as I would like it to be. Really pretty low in comparison to where it should be. But it works. Getting out. All right, so back to you. My 2HW8CDL.
Have 80 meters on the tower too, directional 80 meter beam.
No, I'm only using a dipole. My dipole goes straight, it's in one straight line from my chimney to the tree behind my garage. That's it.
No, I'm asking about the guy in Minnesota, because you said he had like six beams on his rotating tower. I was wondering if when you worked him, he had a directional antenna and on 80.
You know, I did not ask him what antenna, or even what equipment he's. Usually, I do that. You know, I want to know what equipment he's using, what transmitter, what microphone. We for some reason didn't get into that discussion at all. I did not. I was looking at his QRZ page, and it shows a picture of his antenna installation, and that's why I was talking to him about it, you know, how hard it was for him to put that whole installation up, because it's a huge installation. But, of course, out there, he got the property to do so. But I did not ask him at all what antenna he was using, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I saw a disturbing video a couple of days ago. You know, on Facebook, I have a number of these groups that are related to ham radio, and people post different things. And it was a video of these guys, two guys, putting a tower together, and they were using gin poles and sections, and I don't know if they were 10 or 20 foot sections, you know, and then they would be on that section near the top, bring up the other one, put that one in, and they weren't guying it. They must have had about six or seven sections up, and all of a sudden the thing, the top section bends over. Of course, they're hanging on for dear life, and then it just ultimately, everywhere sections would jump. Would bend, you know, well, they died, obviously. So it was a little disturbing. So anyway, yeah, 130-foot tower. I mean, that's, you know, some people are adept at that kind of thing. I'd farm that out myself. Have other people do it for me, I guess. But, yeah. So there you go with that. And, yeah, the theory is fascinating. That's what I love. I mean, you know, people, a lot of people like to rag chew. There's all different parts of the hobby, but I find the technical end to be compelling. So, and I know you do, along with the other stuff. But you know, so anyway, well, I'm in the parking lot here at my doctor's. I still have about 9 minutes before my appointment. The regularly scheduled blood test. What are you up to today?
Okay, WHCDL. Well, you know, actually the weather's going to be warm enough I can actually do antenna work outside because it's supposed to get supposed to be nice this week. I'm off this week. Since I did go into Jersey last week. I got caught up in some stuff that was waiting for me. So right now that's done. And, unless I'm called that something came in to my office that I got to look at, it hasn't happened yet. So right now I don't have to go in. So I'm actually straightening out. I'm cleaning things up. I just had piles of stuff down in the living room and the dining room, and I'm just throwing a lot of stuff out and cleaning things up, and putting things away, and making things neat. Doing that. So, and okay on the doctor stuff. Yeah, very good. Now, the interesting thing about, one thing that this guy mentioned, this guy Steve, I said, you must have hired a crane to put these antennas up, because the antennas themselves are huge. I mean, the boom length, I mean, I can't tell by the picture, but you're talking about 40, 50-foot boom length, I would say at least, you know, I'm talking about 50 feet of boom length itself. Now, of course, I'm making up that number, but it looks like it could be that long. And he's got multiple antennas. So he said, nope, he did it all himself. He guides it's a guide tower. The tower's got wings around it because it's a rotating tower. And that, you know, that's an expensive installation in itself. But he said it was just him and his wife. Would you believe that? That's what he said. His wife operated the winch. I said, how did you get the antennas up there? He said, with a tram system. And, you know, it's like the hazer. You familiar with the hazer, where you could mount a beam outside the tower, and then by a pulley and a winch system, you could raise it and lower it? Same idea. That's how I got the antennas up. So he said, let me let it drop a second. Hold on. He said he would climb the tower, and he would mount a pulley on at a certain location on the tower with a winch rope going to a winch below on the ground, and then he would attach the bottom winch rope to the bottom part to the other end to the beam that he's pulling up. He would climb the tower. His wife would operate the winch. He would be on the tower, and then his wife would start the winch, and it would pull the antenna up. Actually, I'm not sure where the winch is located. It could be at the top. It could be at the bottom, depending on how it's set up. But anyway, that's what pulls the antenna up. He gets it into place. He secures it, and that's it, at the certain height that he wants. Then he goes up higher on the tower. The tower's 130 feet. So he's not afraid of heights, that's for sure. And he did it all himself with his wife. I heard that, and I said, wow. You would think you would hire a crane or something, but this particular guy did not do that.
Emily 2H Mobile. Well, he didn't tell you his wife is a steel worker. Yeah, no, that's crazy. Crazy stuff. Yeah, I'm familiar with the hazes. But, wow. Imagine the wind load on that thing, too. Boom, boom, boom. But as you said, it's guide, and sounds like he may have known what he was doing. And yeah, it's pretty complex, rotating the whole tower. So, well, he gets to enjoy it anyway. That's good. So, all right, I'm going to mosey on in. And you know, when you take these blood tests, you have to fast, right? It's fasting blood work. So once I get out of here, I'm going to indulge in a, I think a flagel, which is a flat bagel. Going to have them toast it, butter it up, and put a lot of bacon on it. Oh, boy. Maybe that'll show up on the next blood test. Who knows? So anyway, that's the plan. And maybe we'll talk to you during the day today and see what's cooking. Hopefully it's going to be clear. My little weather station at home had, like, raindrops on it, but I guess if it's clear, you'll be able to get your some work done over there. All right. WA2CDO, NY2H Mobile.
All right, really good. I think you said last week you were having a procedure done, which you probably had done now. I guess that everything's good with that, which is good. Yeah, I've had many blood tests where I had to fast. That's routine for me. I go every few months, get things cholesterol checked. I had a checkup just recently, which was very good. It's on my medication, so it's keeping the numbers down. Keeping the numbers within range. So that's a good thing. The thing with me is I don't exercise enough, which I really need to do. But that's me. For now. All right. Yeah, we'll continue this. And by the way, it is crazy what he did. I would expect him to say he hired a lot of help and cranes and things to get this up. But no, he did it all himself. And it's a multi-$1,000 installation for sure for what he did. His call is K0SF. He's in Minnesota. K0SF. Sugar Frank. His name is Steve. Actually, I think he's on right now, but I have the volume turned down. I listened to him on the K3FEF WebSDR site in Pennsylvania. I've been using that. For now, anyway. So I know my signal's getting out there because I can hear myself coming back. So that's good. And since I have the amplifier, it's made a world of difference, of course. I'm running 600 watts of peak power with my little ICO 720 through the amp. All right, I'll let you go. Talk to you next time. And I'll give you a call later on today because a couple of things that I want to talk to you about anyway. See you later. WHCDO.
See you later, Andy. NY2873.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KD2KH, Charlie, you listening? WA2CDL.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
W2OSR.
W2OSR.
W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
This is KE2 UTU listening.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
KD2EDX.
Was that KD2EDX? KD2AKX.
Hey, John, it was KD2EDX. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I bumped into somebody that used to be over at Kellenberg.
Oh, yeah? Who'd you bump into?
Father John.
Oh, very good. Very good. He's doing well.
Yes, he's over at my my wife's parish over in East Iceland.
Okay, great. Great, yeah. Good dad. Good man.
It's like you're on an HT. You're coming in a little scratchy.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
I am. I'm on a Yaesu HT. Was just checking on my batteries and so I just put the call out to make sure everything was working well. And I guess from indoors it's doing okay. Not great, but okay.
Hi, Jim. Yes, you're working well. You're making it in and we can understand what you're saying. So with that, I would say it's working. You be good. Happy New Year. I'll catch you soon. This is KD2AKX.
You as well. Happy New Year. And hopefully we all can see each other soon. This is KD2EDX.
Thank you.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2YYC.
N2JM. How you doing? Name is Mike. I'm over here in Belmore. Nice day out there today.
Afternoon, Mike. Name here is Howard. Mobile in Wantagh. Yeah, not bad. 50 degrees. Warming up a little bit. But you know, the storm this week, it just rained.
Yeah. Same old stuff. Still working? Are you retired? Or?
Still working, but not today.
Yeah, I'm over here in Belmont behind right up Belmont Avenue. Right behind CVS here.
How's your holiday?
Good. My daughter lives upstate in Marlboro, New York. Over by Stewart Air Base, Newburg. Spent a couple of days there. I got two grandkids. One's 8 and one's 4.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I know that area. They get a lot of snow up there.
Yeah, last week I think they got about a foot and a half. My brother lives in Vermont, and he got 2 feet.
Wow. Yeah, not much left here. Pretty much all washed away.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm retired. I worked for the county, in Essex County, for 43 years. I worked over the Bay Park Sewer Plant. I was an electrician for 43 years, and I retired about 12 years, and this is...
Did you miss going to work?
Yeah, on occasion, I do. I worked over Bay Park, started in 68, and I retired in 08.
They started in 68?
Yeah. I retired 12 years. I retired in 08.
Well, it's a long career. So, was that over 40 years?
Yeah, 43 is it. When you retire, they give you 2 years more.
All right, well, definitely earned your retirement there. Yeah, I have 25 years of my job. I'll be retiring.
Okay. All right, let me go. Good talking to you. 73 years. And be well, Howie.
All right, have a good new year, N2YYC.
N2MJM.
KC2KSH, testing 12345.
K2KNB.
K2KMB, AK1NS, testing. How are you? Happy New Year.
And the same to you. And so nice to hear you. What's going on?
Oh, I'm off this week, and I'm heading up to the Catskills in the RV. So I just made some changes on the radio in here, and obviously it's working.
Yeah, where are you actually now?
I'm at my house in the driveway.
Oh, man, I figured you'd tell me something exotic up by the Mario Cuomo Bridge or something like that.
Yeah, this, I got a little Nokia antenna, a quarter wave, I think, and this little magnet mounted on the hood, and that's it on this thing. When I drive it, I'm already at 11 feet, so you can't go anything higher than that. Hit 12-foot bridges and stuff. The external antenna, though, goes up quite a bit. It's telescopic, and I think it goes to about 20 feet.
Yeah, it's also interesting, though, that your signal, your audio is bad. It started out really good, very solid, very clear, and now it's kind of on the fuzzy side.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I'm not sure why. I'll have to put a meter on it or something and take a look.
Yeah, which radio are you using? Because it sounds like maybe as it's heating up, it's something's happening.
The Yaesu FT 7200.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're just not as clear now as you were in the beginning. Very tinny right now, or let's say more tinny. It was much more bass when you first started. And this is what? This is with the mag mount antenna?
Roger.
Maybe try moving it and maybe putting it on a bigger piece of metal just for comparison.
I'd give that a shot. I definitely will. All right. Well, how's everything else going? 2020, we're glad to see it go, like I am.
Yeah, I think like everybody else, just bored out of our minds at this point. Just crazy. Hopefully we'll be finished with this another 4, 5, 6 months, 8 months, something like that. At least there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But other than that, hanging in there. I haven't seen my grandkids for a while, but I think we might get to see them maybe on Saturday for a little while at a distance. But, yeah, very tough. What about on your side?
Same. It's been a weird Thanksgiving and Christmas. Kind of a holiday season, that's all I can say. Everything, thank goodness for Zoom and Teams. What will we do without them? But working remote and communicating remotely and, I haven't seen them in a while, but we weren't going to take a chance. Right now, and she's a nurse at Stony Brook, and they're seeing an uptick over there, so we don't want to get together too much.
Yeah, Keith Camby, yeah, it's a really crazy thing. My nephew's a pre-med over there. Not pre-med, he's med. Second year medical over there. I don't even know what they're doing. I guess they have to do their clinicals at some point, but a lot of home studies, so it's a mess. The audio really disintegrated there, Dave. It's just, it's interesting. I mean, it could possibly be the antenna, but, it's just weird. And what'd you say, you're heading upstate today or during the week?
No, I'm heading up in the morning. I think maybe I'd better shut this down so I don't burn anything out if it's messing up until I take a look at it closer. But I'll try to get back on in a little while, Rich. And happy holidays and a very happy new year.
Yeah, thanks, David. Same to you and the family. And of course, a happy new year and better things to come. All right, yeah, if you get back, we should be here for a while. K2KND. Catch you later.
Then 2ZUC, Mobile, listening.
And 2YYZ, how are you, Ron?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Howard?
Doing all right. Working a lot. A lot of people out sick at work.
A lot of COVID-19?
Yes, among other things.
Sorry to hear that. Well, up with the vaccine. This will go away shortly.
I don't know. That's not what I'm hearing. It's saying even if we aggressively vaccinate, we're looking at another year.
Well, that's not good news. There's another company wants to get approved. It's on trial in Mexico and other areas, I guess, in the U.S. So I forget the name. It's a company I never heard of before. And AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson looking to get approval. So there'll be quite a few manufacturers.
Oh, that's good. But I don't know. They're saying the worst is yet to come.
Well, fortunately, a lot of people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing with the masks and staying away from crowds and so on. We walked in the park here in Valley Stream, Metricson Park, and now you see a few people still not wearing masks.
Yeah, people are tired of it, but when they hear of other states, they're not doing it at all, so yep, we're ahead of them in that respect.
I didn't know it wasn't required in some states. I thought it was all over.
No, they made it a political thing. Many Republican states, they refused to do it.
They're not helping them or anyone else, really. I don't think it's political at all. I think it's not of health and life and death if you really get sick and die. And it's not going to be political.
I agree with you. I don't know. So I was reading Trump had another event, Hanukkah menorah lighting. People got sick of that also.
The Hanukkah menorah, memorial, what is it? A lighting of those two candles. And people weren't wearing masks and they got sick afterwards?
Yeah, it was another White House event. You know, no precautions necessary.
Well, that's absurd. Absolutely absurd. It really is.
Especially since, you know, this is the third time he's run an event where people have gotten sick.
Well, I know if he's not leading properly, that's not good, but the people themselves should use common sense and do the right thing.
So, what have you been up to?
A whole lot. Like I said, we just left walking in the park. If it's decent weather, we walk in the park. We're up to 50, so that's the magic temperature. That's the cutoff point.
Which park?
It's Hendrickson Park in Valley Stream.
Okay, not familiar with it. I'm planning on retiring soon, trying to figure out exactly when.
Well, you have your time in it. Who's that you see, Mobile? Well, good for you. How many years did you put in?
25.